Good morning. It's certainly good to see everyone who's made it a point this morning to come out to assemble together to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for the presence of all who are here, and we hope some things will be said this morning that will help us in our Christian walk of life. Sometimes I feel like what I'm trying to do when I'm asked to speak is to be like a coach. Now, my history of being a coach is not very good. I coach my son's baseball team. In the 2 years that we were in a league that actually kept score, I don't think we ever won a game. So I probably shouldn't have a lot of confidence as a coach. But one of the things that that I try to do is to encourage all of us to work on our own salvation. This is something that's very vital to our getting to heaven. Is we can't just get baptized and think we've done enough to ensure a home in heaven. We have to, every day, we have to live the best that we can in serving God in order to obtain a home in heaven. And sometimes I think that's something that we may take for granted or not give enough thought or attention to. One of the things that led me to want to talk about this morning is earlier this past week, I was putting on my shoes, and I thought about how often do we think about tying our shoes. It's something that we learn to do when we're a child, and if we still wear the type of shoes that have laces, it's something that we do every day, but it's something we don't ever think about. And if you've ever known anybody who's had a stroke and sometimes they have to relearn all of these things, it's something that we often take for granted, is the ability that we have to do things like that throughout the day that we can do without giving a second thought to. And it's important that we don't let our Christianity become that type of thing where we only give it attention now and then, or we don't really think about it. We just go through the motions. It needs to be done with the proper attitude and the proper respect towards God and the word that has been given to us to follow. So the topic, the title of my lesson this morning is The Shining Light. And the text comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. All the scriptures that I'll be reading this morning are from the King James translation, and I have the page numbers for the black Bibles in the pews for you to be able to look that up quickly if you want to follow along in those Bibles. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus here is very plainly telling us that we have to be a light and an example. And in doing that, it's something that we have to think about and be conscious of, not only when we're out in public, but when we're at home as well, because being a Christian is something that we need to do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In the next couple of weeks, there are going to be parents that are going to be reminding their children that there's somebody watching them, that he sees them when they're sleeping, that he knows when they're awake, he knows when they've been bad or good. And let me tell you, God, that's God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until time comes to an end. And so we need to be mindful of that and realize that God is always watching us. He knows how many hairs there are on our head, whether we have a whole head of hair or only a few, or even if we're bald, he still knows. He knows everything that we do, and he's watching us. And so it's important for us to remember that and to be mindful of that as we go about our daily lives. So before we continue with our lesson, we have an opportunity and a privilege now of going to God in a word of prayer to thank him for the many blessings that he has given us and for making our wants and petitions known unto him. So at this time, won't each of you humble yourselves as the one selected leads us in a word of prayer. As we mentioned before, it's vital for us to understand that our salvation is something that we need to maintain. We realize that through Jesus we have an opportunity of everlasting life when we're baptized and come in contact with his blood, but that's the beginning of our salvation and not the only thing that's necessary in order for us to obtain it. We have to daily walk the walk that we need to walk and be the examples that we need to be. The teachings of Jesus stretch the fact that his way lights the path that leads to heaven, and this is the path that we need to follow and we need to make sure that we stay on. In our text, Jesus described our Christian attitude as a light that emanates from us. It's something that should shine forth. It's something that people should be able to see within us and see that we are different from everyone else. And some people think that different means bad, but in this particular case, different means we don't do things as the world does. The key point that I'd like to make from our text is when Jesus says that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And this is something that I want to kind of focus on a little bit in our lesson this morning, is this idea of home and a family. Nothing will remind you of your responsibility of being a good example like having a child in your home. This is something, of course, that we remember from the days when we were raising our own son. But once he grew up, we realized that our influence on him wasn't what it once was. Although we try to remain positive influence, you have a responsibility as parents to mold a child into what that child should become. And now that we have our granddaughter at our house a couple afternoons a week, it becomes readily apparent about how we have to be good examples, because children will mimic the things that their parents do. I was reminded of a commercial that came out when I was a kid about, the commercial showed a little boy following his father around as his father did different things around the house, and the son was imitating everything the father did. If the father was hammering nails, the child would act like he was hammering nails. And at the end of the commercial, the father sits down against a tree and starts to light a cigarette, and the little boy reaches for the cigarettes because he's imitating everything that the father does, the good things that he's doing, and he'll also imitate the bad things. And so when we're around children, especially young children, and we see how they try to emulate and mimic the things that we do, we realize that we have a responsibility to be good examples to them. And, of course, we as individuals, we should always be someone who's learning. We should never think that we're too old to learn anything, especially learning about how to be a better example and how to be a better Christian. So we should be mindful of that and be open to the idea that we should be good examples to everybody that we encounter. A lot of people seem to think that or have the opinion that home is the place where you go to let your hair down. You can go home and you can relax, and you're amongst your family, and you don't have to put on the show, so to speak, that you put on in public. And we need to be reminded that Christianity is not a costume. It's not something that we dress up on Sunday morning and put on a mask and go to church and pretend to be a good Christian, and then the rest of the week live the way that the rest of the world lives. This is something that's not going to get us into heaven. We have to not look at Christianity as a costume or a disguise or a secret identity, but something that we live each and every day to the best of our ability. I'd like now to read from Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. This is on page 1659 in the Black Bibles. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there be no respect of persons. Here is Paul's writing to the church at Colossae. He's imploring them to think about their responsibility as husbands, as wives, as children, as servants, as masters. Whatever our lot in life is, whatever our station is, we should do that as a Christian, and have respect for the relationship that we have with other people, and realize that we need to be an example to all of them and encourage them to embrace the Word of God as we have endeavored to do. And this is something that is taught over and over again in the scripture. We might now to read from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. And this is found on page 1650. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I'll stop here just a second, and as I'm going to do through some of these readings and make some more precise comments about some of the things that we're going to read. Notice that it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. If you're a child and you become a Christian and your parents aren't Christian and they try to tell you to do something that is against what the Bible teaches, then you need to stand for the truth. That goes if we're students or employees, we need to stand for the things that God has told us to do. We're supposed to be mindful and respectful of authority, but when that authority is in conflict with what God would have us to do, then we always have to err to the side of God. And this is something that's hard to do. People have lost jobs over this. They've lost friendships. They've lost marriages over standing for what God wants them to do against those who would encourage them not to follow after God. And so it's important for us to remember this, and it's important for us as parents not to force our children to do something that we know is contrary to what God teaches. We need to encourage them to be good and not to embrace sin. We'll continue reading with verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So we see that Paul here is writing almost exactly the same thing to the church at Ephesus that he did to the church at Colossae, talking about these relationships that we have in our lives and how important it is to maintain them in a Christian manner. And this all goes back to this idea of being a light and a good example to all those that are around us. If we're in a situation, of course, we don't have slavery in this country, but certainly you can look at being an employee or an employer and realize that that relationship is not exactly the same, but it's similar in many respects. If we have a job, we need to respect the person that hires us or the person that guides us in that job. And again, if they want us to do something, we need to do it respectfully as long as it's not conflicting with what the Bible teaches us to do. And at that point, we do have to make a stand. But the more mindful and respectful we are of the things that we should follow, the better example that makes. And the better, the more people may be influenced by our positive following of God's word. I'd like now to go over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading there with verse 38 on page 1446. Luke, chapter 8, beginning in verse 38. Now the man of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. In the country of the Gadarenes, Jesus had met up with this man that was possessed by several demons. Jesus cured the man, and this man wished to follow after Jesus, as many of his disciples did. When they saw the miraculous things that he had done, they desired to follow after him. Jesus told the man to go home and to be a witness of the things that Jesus had done of him at his home. And we know that sometimes people desired to follow after Jesus after he healed them in some miraculous way. But in this particular instance, Jesus wanted this man to stay home and be an example to those around him. And that tells us that not all of us have the same talent and ability. Not all of us have the same opportunity to do the different works that God has for us to do. There are some that are meant to be called to go out and to spread the gospel into areas where there isn't an established congregation, and there are others that it's more important for them to remain where they're at and be a positive influence in the place where they live. regardless of what our duties to God are, we need to do them, again, remembering to be a good example. Colossians chapter 4, beginning of verse 6 on page 1660. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Sometimes we might find ourselves saying things at home that we would never say in public. I know I've been guilty of this, and it's something that I'm not proud of. It's something that I know that from time to time I need to kind of back up and remind myself that I need to be a better example. And this is something I think we all should do. We all should be the type of person who examines ourselves, who is honest with ourselves. And this is one of the things that's going to lead multitudes of people to destruction, is they're not honest with themselves about how they're living and the things they're doing. They give themselves little outs or little things that they think that God is going to ignore or not hold against them. And this is something that's very dangerous to our salvation and our chances of going to heaven. And so we have to be mindful of these things. He says also here that we may know what we ought to answer every man. It's important for us to know what the Bible teaches. A way that we can be a good example is if someone asks us a question about, you know, why do you feel like you have to be in church every Sunday? Or why do you not dress like other people? Or why do you not use foul language? We need to be able to go to the Bible and show people where it says that those are things that we're not supposed to be involved in. And when we do that, it's going to, again, make us a positive example. And people aren't going to think we're just blindly following something because our parents did it and our grandparents did it, but that we're mindful of how we live and the things that we do, and that it has a purpose, and that there is a doctrine behind it that we have chosen and to live by and accepted. And this, is again, is something that you're going to find is going to be more positive and encouraging to people when you confront them, not necessarily confront them, but when you're talking to them about the Word of God, when you can go to the Bible and show them the Scripture. Now, they may not accept it, they may not believe it, but at least you can show them where it's at, and you can confirm that that's why we believe those things. And again, this makes us a positive example, and one that we can that hopefully can give us positive influence on others. I'd like now to read from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And this is on page 1706. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are hereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Here Peter talks about the importance of unity and having a common goal of going to heaven, and being good examples to those around us, and good examples to our children as well. I'd like to speak for just a minute about this idea that the world has about how women are to be subjected. Certainly, the Bible does teach us that women are under subjection of their husbands in the Lord. In other words, a faithful wife that's doing the Word of God wouldn't do anything that her husband told her to do if it wasn't something that the Bible already told her. And we've seen two different scriptures where it says that God is no respecter of persons. In this passage of scripture, we see where Peter refers to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, physically, women are not as strong as men, but mentally and spiritually, I found in my own life that women can be far stronger than men in those regards. And I'm sure we all know as well women who are much stronger spiritually and emotionally even than some men can be. And so we realize that the different men and women have different traits. They have different strengths and weaknesses. But God looks at all of us the same. He's established this relationship of marriage because it illustrates the relationship between Jesus and the church. And he puts a high importance on that, and something that we need to realize that we need to respect as God has established it, and not abuse it as some people would, or some people seem to think is what happens in this particular relationship. But we realize that if we are being a good husband, then we honor our wife and we try to protect her and try to build her up spiritually. And the wife likewise would try to build up her husband spiritually. And when you have that relationship in God, your marriage can be strong and last for as long as both partners live here upon the earth. He also emphasizes the importance of being good examples for those who have chosen to take a wife or take a husband who is not a member of the church, about being a positive influence on them and hopefully winning them over to become a Christian themselves. And we've seen, I was an example of that. When my wife and I were married, I was not a member of the church. And through her good example and my finally giving up on my hard-headedness and my willingness to accept the Word of God, I became a Christian. And there are others here this morning who had a similar circumstance. And so we realize that this is something else that we're encouraged to do through our good example, is to influence our spouses as well. I'd like now to go to Titus chapter 2. Begin reading there in verse 1 on page 1679. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in a behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. This word sober that's used here doesn't mean sober as in not a consumer of alcohol or drugs, as sober as we understand the word today, but to be serious. And this is something that important as we read through this. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, or talking back, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in its present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify into himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So here is Paul's writing this personal letter to Titus that we have recorded for us in the New Testament through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's telling Titus how he needs to instruct the people of God to act, and what their attitude should be and their relationships towards one another, and how they need to be mindful of everything that they do, the places that they go, the things that they do, the way they talk, the way they dress, the way they act, that all of these things reflect what it means to be a Christian. And again, it's something that we have to do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We can't just do it part-time or only on Sunday or only when we think people are looking, because as we mentioned in our opening remarks, God is always looking. He's always seeing what we do. And we may be able to hide things that we do from our spouses and our families and other people in the church, but we cannot hide it from God, and we need to be reminded of that. So the attitude that we're supposed to have is one that of serving God, serving him happily, and doing it to influence others to do the same. I'd like now to read from 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And this is on page 1670. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falleth into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So we realize that when Paul writes this letter to Timothy, this is a time when the New Testament church is being established. The Bible, the New Testament part of the Bible, has not even been finished yet, as Paul is literally writing it as we've read here to Timothy. These letters have not been all combined with the Gospels and become the New Testament. And so each congregation needed leaders there that were faithful and strong and that could lead in a positive way that reflected what God wanted them to do. And so these men were appointed to these tasks, and Paul here is telling Timothy the type of individual that needs to hold those particular offices. Now, in the first verse, he says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And I would like to say today that from what I've studied and what I see, this is something that every Christian should desire, this same type of life. Or the same time, reflect the same type of life that is described here. It shouldn't be something that we seek a particular office, but if we seek to be a good Christian, then we have to do all the things that Paul talks about here. There's not anything here that we can't do. The women can't teach in public, but certainly there's not any of the characteristics of the person here, the people here that Paul describes to Timothy, that should be found in each and every one of us as Christians today. Well, the intent here, we realize, is to give guidelines for appointing leaders in the early church. As we mentioned, it doesn't mean that we ourselves as Christians cannot have the same pattern of a good life and being a good example. I'd like now to read from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, and this is on page 1649. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once be named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving that what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth not make manifest is light. I'm sorry, let me read that again. Starting again with verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make a manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. For then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding that what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So hopefully some things have been said this morning that will encourage us to be mindful of the idea that we are to be examples to everyone that we meet. We're to be examples certainly at home, but that should also extend into our life as we go out into public, as whether we be students or employees or employers or whatever it is that we do, we should constantly be showing forth what it means to be a Christian and to be a true light and example that God wants us to be. We realize that in order to become that example and become a child of God, that there's some steps that we need to take in order to do that. We realize that we need to hear the Word of God, that we then need to believe and accept that it is the Word of God and it is the instruction for us to live in righteousness and obtain salvation and eternal life. We then repent that we believe that Jesus, we then repent of the life that we've lived that has been contrary to what God would have us to do and desire to walk in the way that we've talked about this morning. We can then confess before men that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins. And we come forth out of the water a light. We become an individual in God's sight who is now sinless. And from that point forward, we have to endeavor to make sure that that light continues to shine as brightly as it did when we came out of the water until our life ends or until Jesus comes again, if we hope to inherit eternal life. So we also realize that if we've done some things that have dimmed our light or caused our light to go out, that as long as we're alive, it's not too late for us to make things right with God. We can come to Him and ask Him for forgiveness of those things, and we can pray with you and for you that He receives you back into good standing and that you can then continue to work on your salvation until your life ends or until Jesus comes again. If there be any who desire the service of the church, won't you come while we stand and sing?